Hi, I'm Teresa, owner of T3 Fit, and you're listening to the T3 Fit podcast, where scoliosis warriors and professionals come together. Here we talk about our scoliosis journeys and the emotional components it takes on from being a parent to being diagnosed with scoliosis and sometimes leading to surgery. It's a place where professionals share their expertise of treatments, from physical therapy to surgery, and so much more. So let's get started. Hey, everybody, welcome to the T3 Fit Scoliosis Podcast. On today's episode, we are going across the pond. We have our guest is Annabelle DeWild. On Instagram, she is known as backtoback.scoliosis. She is here today to talk to us about her journey of scoliosis, a spinal fusion, where she started and where she is now and how life is treating her. So Annabelle, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Hello. Thank you.
You're welcome. Can you share with us what was the beginning of your story? How did your journey with scoliosis come about?
So I was 11 years old and I was at a very academic school. So I was studying a lot. I was very stressed, dealing with a lot of anxiety and usual pressures that you do in those years. And carrying a lot of school books home. And it was one day that I lifted up my satchel. I put it over my shoulder, always the right shoulder. And when I bent down, my mum just said, "Oh my gosh, what's that on your back?" And she could see the hump where I had a right thoracic. So it was my rib cage being twisted round. And that's what you could see out the back. So we went to the doctor. And we got referred to a spinal surgeon and he confirmed it's scoliosis. And at this stage, I think it was maybe 30, 35 degrees.
Okay.
And he explained that they don't operate until 45. So you're going to have to wait maybe a couple of years and just see what happens.
How long ago was this?
This was when I was 11 and okay. I'm now 32.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah. It's a long time, about 21 years.
Okay.
And that's really when it started. So I then saw a spinal surgeon and I quickly got to 45. But for me at that time, we didn't have Pilates, we didn't have yoga. At school, it was just netball, hockey, you know, standard sports. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing specific. And the only information we had was that there is an expert surgeon at your hospital in Southampton and it's surgery if it gets worse, i.e. 45 plus. Mm-hmm. So I was in a lot of pain, but also I didn't have the information I do now. I didn't have the exercises or anything else to try. So it was just getting worse.
Okay.
And in the end, I ended up having full corrective surgery. So 12 plus hours for the first one. And that was at 15. So okay. Yeah, the progression was relatively quick. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, a whole day in surgery. And it was a full correction. So
share with us what that means.
So a full spinal correction, essentially. My spine was curved like this. So it's a right thoracic. Mm-hmm. So in between my shoulder blades, my spine curves out to the right. And that curvature pushes the rib cage round. So the rib cage begins to twist. Mm-hmm. So when you bend forwards, the hump that you see on one side is the ribs coming out of the back. But also on top of that, I have a kyphosis, which means that my shoulders round forward. So scoliosis is the S shape. It's when the spine moves left and right. Mm-hmm. And a kyphosis is when the spine folds forwards. So an inversion, as it were.
Okay.
So there were two different things going on. It was a complicated surgery. I had four ribs removed, other four dislocated, 2 liters of blood loss. And I just have never forgotten that moment waking up in ICU with tubes in my neck, in my arms, in my throat. It was major, huge. And it was a difficult operation.
Do you remember how long it lasted?
Yeah, the first one was 12 plus hours. Okay. It was a whole day. I went in at 8 a.m. And it wasn't an easy one. So they had to go back in and do further work because they weren't happy with part of the correction that they'd spent hours doing. So when you go through a spinal correction, a scoliosis surgery, and there are, again, now many different techniques and different ways to go about it. But at the time for me, it was Harrington rods. It was, you know, titanium. Mm-hmm. So that's the screws and the bolts all the way up and down the spinal column. And essentially, they're breaking the spine and levering it straight. And then it's pinned and the bolts tighten the screws in place. So you're then fused. But it's, you know, from where I'm sat now, it's not something to take lightly, because it's once you start messing with the spine and the spinal column and all the nerves around it, you know, you're this, as you know, we both know because we deal with the body every day.
Yeah.
The spine moves in 6 different directions, from left to right, forward, back, and it also rotates. Mm-hmm. So it's made that way to move. And then you're putting metal either side of it, so then it can't move. So it was huge. Yeah, it was a big operation.
And you had the surgery when you were 15.
I had the surgery when I was 15.
And did you know anybody else who had scoliosis, or was there anybody close enough who, like, you could talk to who was familiar with this?
No one.
Okay.
No one. You know, and it's not that long ago. Times have changed. We have a bit more information, but still not enough, which is why I've ended up doing all the things I've done and creating an awareness group and then, you know, qualifying in various therapies to help. Because through all of that, through the isolation of it, the desperation of it, the pain, I wished I had someone to look up to who I thought rather, because you're labeled as you have a deformity and a disability, these heavy medical labels, I just thought, that's it. That's my life done, and I'm second rate, and I'll never be good at anything.
Yeah.
And it's a huge load to carry. There was no mental or physical strengthening in the form of therapy or physical therapy to lead up to that surgery. And you think of the organs that are affected, the sheer amount of blood loss, 2 liters, it's a lot. And then muscles cut. And for me, my scar runs all the way down my spine. So at the top of my neck, all the way down to about L2, L3. So it's a spinal correction. And I also have a thick scar that wraps around my ribs where they went in at the side also.
Okay.
Which has caused further complications since, because I'm prone to keloid scars, which means that you produce too much tissue and it becomes very thick.
Okay.
So we've gone through a lot to, you know, try and break that down, because it's incredibly painful to lean against the chair too long. Is painful. So it's huge. And I think there were so many things that were created at that time through that experience for me that have now manifested now in what I do with clients, whether it be just even when you can't move and you're lying on your broken spine in so much pain, just to hear a meditation, just to hear some comforting words to mentally get you through that moment.
It goes a long way.
It goes such a long way. Yeah.
But you mentioned that you had two surgeries?
So that was operation number one.
Okay.
Now, at the time I was going through, here in the UK, what we call GCSEs. So there was a lot of pressure, and I was at a very academic school. that was very conscious of league tables. And I came home and I was studying in my bed, and it was about a year of recovery, but very, very, very slow, very slow.
Okay.
I dropped a lot of weight after the initial operation. And of course, you can't really move. It's the actual, the days after and the build up to your first walk and all of those processes that they put you through, eventually walking, you know, from the room down the stairs to build you up. It's very slow. And I think it differs for everybody. But I had a year of exhaustion, really. And I spent most of it in my bed. I found sitting up very, very difficult and very painful. And a lot of pain in my lower back. So by the time we got towards the end of the year, I was in the car with my dad. And he just looked at me and said, "Surely, by now, you know, we need to see you picking up, and your energy levels are, you know, so down, and you're still in a lot of pain." And again, where, and perhaps it's a generational thing also, I just put up and shut up. I just thought, that's it. I'm going to have to deal with a certain level of pain now in my life. And I've been through this up, but I didn't know any better. I didn't have anyone to ask. I didn't know what was normal. And it was just a case of, you know, trying to be normal and trying to get back into the playground and get through my qualifications and achieve something.
So you just kind of like shut down.
I shut down, and I went very inward, because at that time, most of my friends were dealing with, you know, boys and getting their period and normal things, and rolling, hitching their skirts up and fashion and, you know, all the normal fun things that you do when you're a kid. And I was growing fearful. I was scared to cross the quad in case someone bumped into me and I fell over. You know, in the winter, I'd then be scared of slipping on something and jarring my spine. I wanted to wear all the jumpers throughout even summer months to hide, to cover up. I didn't want to change in the changing room for sports because I didn't want people asking me questions or what's that scar. And it still is big. And it was stressful, and I became very anxious and I became very isolated because I wasn't doing what everybody else was doing. And there was no one really to coach or to support, or I had my mum, and she was basically nurse, best friend, console. You know, when I couldn't stand up, she'd stand in the shower and wash me. She was everything. So, you know, I think we've evolved a lot since, but that's really what got me through my operation and that period in my life. But basically, back to being in the car with my dad and him commenting, "You look absolutely exhausted. Please, can we get an x-ray just to make sure everything's okay?" And we did. And the x-ray showed that there were two screws loose in my lower spine. And because the screws had come undone, the pins were grating either side of the spine. So we went back to the surgeon, and his advice was, well, it wasn't an option. It was, those screws have to come out because it's dangerous. And if they keep rubbing, they'll go through the bone and meat. And we were told that usually that only happens if there is an infection in the metalwork. But also that after a year, removal of all the metalwork is fine because you should technically be fused. So as you can imagine, I was devastated. Completely devastated. I was so scared. I was terrified at the thought of having to go under an anesthetic again and have even more surgery. And what I've been through all of this and it's failed.
That's a hard blow.
It's a huge blow. It's a huge blow. And even to this day, my parents feel incredibly responsible because they were making the decisions. They were signing the documents and they were told that that was our local expert. And that's an expert. So that's who you must go to. And these are your options because she's at this degree and nothing else will save it now. So it's surgery or, you know, she'll be a cripple.
Yeah.
So there's lots. And it's that's why I just reiterate, it's for lots, it's plain sailing. For lots, it's a smooth recovery. And I might be one of few where it hasn't worked, but also I never had the option to try other things to prevent it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we're discovering now, and you and I, that's why you and I are here, because we are doing it and helping others so that they don't get to that stage where they have to do something so drastic. So it was huge. I did go forward with the operation. I did have the metalwork out. The recovery again was slow, and I have sloped since. So my curve, my thoracic, right thoracic curve is worse than it was when I started. And I now have a lumbar curve forming, and I have kyphosis still. So in essence, none of it has really made a difference, but I'm left with the great big scars all over my back. Which for me is, you know, they are very beautiful things to me now, but they weren't then. And it's led me to find other things and other therapies to help. And also it's led me down the path of, you know, should I look at surgery again? Is that an option? And then really looking at surgery, as in different countries, different people, different methods, and really doing my homework as to where and who and what.
Taking the control.
Definitely.
And I want to just kind of dive into this, because you talk about, you know, you found other ways and to help deal with this. And some of those ways are Reiki. And you touched a little bit on the meditation as well. I've only had Reiki done once, but I'm a firm believer in it because it was that powerful for me at that time. But can you share taking the darkness of the surgery and how it impacted you at that time, and maybe even now until today, and how you have taken the choice and the control to change it into something else? Can you share that with us?
Yeah. So I think for me, with all of the dark, there's always a light side, because I wouldn't be where I am now and have done the amazing trainings and met the amazing people. But I tried acupuncture. I tried cranial sacral therapy. I tried Pilates. I tried everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found yoga. And yoga for me gave me the core strength that I needed to support everything else.
Okay.
You know, even lifting my bags to day-to-day life. So that alleviated some of the pain. It also gave me the stretch I need, because obviously there you have your convex side and your concave side, and it helped me rebalance muscles either side of the spine. And then finally, it gave me the change in perspective. So I could turn everything on its head and see the positivity of it. Mm-hmm. Because you have that therapeutic side to yoga. It's a very spiritual practice.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the meditation element also, which helps me calm. And when my nervous system's calm and my breath is regulated, it also helped me deal with a lot of my trauma as a result of the surgery.
Yeah.
And the trauma of my nervous system. So I've done a lot of self-healing, self-soothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on to do Reiki, because, again, it was one of very few things that on top of the yoga really helped me. it helped me shift energy through the body where it gets stuck. And then that helped my body feel less in pain. And I'm a big believer that everything starts in the head, and your physical body is the final manifestation of whatever's going on internally. Mm-hmm. And between the two, it's helped me manage the spine that I have today. Mm-hmm. And it's helped my energy levels and all of those things which you need when you have and again, it's not for everybody, but quite often when you have a scoliosis, it does eat into energy levels. And, you know, dealing with pain is tiring in itself.
Yeah.
So it's been, you know, really quite wonderful. And it basically started at in my early 20s as an awareness site. And then I was going to spinal conferences and meeting physios and connecting up with other people. And there were lots of young girls approaching me, very weighted, very stuck, very isolated, not knowing what to do. And fundamentally, I think the way I felt was, as a young woman, and I like to look nice, I like to have my nice clothes, and I wanted to feel really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And everything about being in a hospital is so sterile and not beautiful. And, you know, even the corsets and the braces, it didn't feel attractive to me. And so everything that I do, I wanted it to feel really luxurious, to feel lovely. You know, all the scents that I use, to smell wonderful, so that it doesn't have to be this burden. It's actually a pleasure to spend time with yourself and your body, and more of a ritual. So I trained in the Reiki, and I also trained as a yoga teacher, because people wanted so many tips. It kind of evolved really into training for myself, for mm-hmm. myself, but okay. also so then I was qualified to actually turn it into more of a group and a body and a foundation where people can come and I can give a video for lower back, or okay. You can have a one-on-one with somebody who's thinking about surgical options and just give them my side of, you know, how I feel about it, really. It's a wonderful option to have. And if so, then there are these people in these different countries, speak to them also. But it's having information.
Yeah.
And having as much information as you can of different things. So for that individual, you can work out what's best for you, and also give everything a try before you do anything drastic.
And keep the calm.
And keep the calm. Yeah. Always keep the calm.
Because that is so often the hardest part. I mean, you talked about it, I experienced it. And even, like, I say this all the time, when you're diagnosed, you know, if you go on Google, don't go on Google, because you'll see the worst of the worst.
Yeah. And I think that's the other thing that I have a love hate with social media and Instagram, because there are all sorts of different platforms out there. But why I love it is because it is a powerful platform to help people feel included and inform. And actually, one of the questions I get a lot is, you know, what do you wear? How do you dress? And all sorts feeds into it. You know, what do you do when you, if you go on a date or if you're in a partnership, how do you introduce that? And so many different things which I've already gone through, you know, in my 20s.
Yeah.
All the funny little things, like, how do you stay away from home if you haven't got your memory foam pillow? And how do you travel? And what's your breakdown kit? And all those tiny day-to-day things. And it's great, because it took me a long time to work it out for myself.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, between... I get a lot of mums who message, and dads and parents who are leading at that time for their children. But hopefully it's a time saver to have that information. And also, you know, it's wonderful. I would have loved to have seen someone who I thought, oh, she looks really normal and together, yeah. and she's still gone and got a master's and a qualification and a career and all of those things, which you want to do. And why shouldn't you?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is, there is a slight cosmetic side to it, of course. because, you know, I used to hate my scars, and I had every single form of injection and steroid cream and ointment, and to this day they still sting a bit like a bee sting, because they are still quite raw, because I have keloid scars, which again is not very common. But there are things you can do to help. And I think if I could pick one thing, it's the mindset is so powerful. The affirmations, you know, and being repetitive about it as well. Morning and evening, I have my bookends, my little routines every day. And once you get to a certain level of strength, it's then easier to keep up. But it's so important, you know, to isolate even the food that you're putting in your body that helps keep you topped up. Eating well, I mean, everything. It's taken me a long time to fine-tune diet, to supplements, to exercise, to for mind, for body. Mm-hmm. And some days, you know, you need to alter that. So you don't want to do a vinyasa flow or something. You need to do a meditation. So movement and stillness, balance. Balance is a really important part of it also.
Yeah. What's an affirmation that you would share with somebody who's listening?
So one of my affirmations at the moment, for me, which I love who I am. I'm connected to my body, I'm connected to my heart, and I'm connected to my soul. And that for me is just really fulfilling, and it makes me smile. Another one that I use a lot with clients who don't necessarily have scoliosis or spinal issues. They're just anxious, or they're just lacking self-confidence, or they've been through a trauma, is I am safe and grounded in my body. I know I am enough. I am safe and grounded in my body. I know I am enough. I think there's such a, when you go through trauma, you can disconnect from the body and you can go into flight or fright mode. And I suffered for years with the most crippling migraines. They were so, so overwhelming because my body was so stuck as a result of the surgery. The first one I had was in recovery. My body was so stuck in flight or fright mode. These migraines would be triggered by just anything, you know, a busy place or traveling or just lifting a bag and my body wasn't strong enough and I'd pull something or hit a nerve. So,
and then you would give yourself that affirmation and you would start, it would just dissipate.
The self-soothing, yeah, it would dissipate. But also it's, you know, we know a lot about neuroplasticity now and the power of the mind. And if you focus on what you don't want, then you'll never get what you do want. So it's really important the language that you have with yourself and how you speak to yourself first and foremost. That relationship is so important, and almost reconnect, fall back in love with your body, and see this, you know, disabled as being so abled. Yeah. You are so abled and so capable. And it is, you know, nobody needs to be defined by any of these things. In fact, there are so many people carrying so many different things, which again is the great thing about social media, because when you see other people who have got some serious issues and with limbs and, you know, really chronic illnesses, it puts in perspective, okay, well, this is not so bad. And you know, learning to fall back in love with your package and what you've got.
I love that. And it's about finding, it's not necessarily the right word, but finding the opportunity within yourself to discover what's possible, because there are so many things possible, even with whatever we're carrying.
And so many things possible. Yeah. So many things possible. Yeah. I mean, gosh, the amount of movement and things that I have done and seen as a result of all of the tools that I've put so many hours into is really quite wonderful.
Yeah.
Really quite wonderful.
There's a freedom. What's that?
Life-changing, really.
There's a freedom that comes when you're open to it.
Yes.
But sometimes getting there is quite hard.
It is hard. It is. And I often think, you know, for me, it was very isolating. And it's only really later on now. I mean, I didn't have Instagram. We had a MySpace, I think, and then a Bebo and a Facebook. And there is so much more information now on those platforms. Still not enough.
Yeah.
But it's wonderful. And actually, it doesn't matter whether you've got scoliosis or not. We all have things going on in our heads.
So true.
And it's very easy to sit in silence and suddenly it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And fear is a horrible thing. And it's amazing how, I mean, friends and family say it to me all the time, gosh, how have you achieved all that? How have you managed all that? And you keep strengthening how, you know, I couldn't have got on a public transport a few years ago because I was so scared I'd trigger a migraine and then I'd be stuck in some place without anyone that knows me and what's going on. And so you can see how it spirals. But actually, when you start communicating with other people who don't have ailments, everybody's got their anxieties and things that trigger them. So communication is really important.
And that's the gift of social media.
Yes.
That is the gift of social media. And you have... You're not a complete fan of Instagram, as you shared, but you have found that, I mean, you and I have spoken through Instagram and talked quite often, and our community is growing, and there's still, as you said, so much more that needs to be done. But I would like to share, if anybody has questions with you, I'm going to ask you, where is the best place that they can reach out to you, either through social media or through your website or another avenue?
So the best place to get hold of me, you can find me on Instagram, that's backtoback.scoliosis. And I'm sure Teresa will put something up. Back is B-A-C-K and then 2-T-O. And then let me tell you my website. My number is on my website and my email is also on there. So please, anybody who has any questions, mums, children of, whether it's surgery, whether it's, it can be anything. You know, what do you do about dating or what do you do about sleeping, dressing, anything. My website is www.backtoback.scoliosis.co.uk. My telephone's on there. My whole story is also on there. And there's information about scoliosis. If you've just been diagnosed and you don't really understand what might feel huge thing is, and some statistics and things like that, that's also on there. And then there's a qualifications page so you can see what I have qualified in, from Reiki to yoga and then further scoliosis spinal alignment yoga, and some trauma-based qualifications as well. So it's not just if you have a scoliosis, it might be back pain. It might also just be that you're going through a really stressful time. I also get a lot of people who struggle with body dysmorphia and things like that, which for me was definitely a big issue. You know, the perspective of self and the body and wanting to have this, you know, beautiful female, lovely body. I know things are changing now and it's not set in stone, but you understand.
Thankfully,
what I'm saying.
I know. It's, yeah, it was like
exactly. Yeah.
And now, thankfully, things have changed and evolved and more acceptance to some extent.
But, definitely. Yeah. And I think to sum up the way I feel about the whole journey, it's what I hope to offer clients is that feeling of reconnection and coming home to your body, as well as feeling beautiful at your core. And that beauty has to come from inside. So it's really life-changing. And hand on my heart, as somebody that's walked it and been through some of the darkest days of my life, it's a miracle, really, the tools that we use.
Yeah.
So I just would encourage anyone who's got at any stage of this to just hold hope and reach out. Communicate. It doesn't matter how small, how silly you think that question might be. There could be a really wonderful solution waiting for you. And try. Be open to it.
Be open and ask questions. No question is too small. No question is too big. No question is too dumb. Just ask. Just ask a question. If anybody would like to reach Annabelle, you can reach her on Instagram once again at backtoback.scoliosis. Her website is also listed there. And Annabelle, I'd like to thank you for being a guest on the T3 Fit Scoliosis podcast. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to be with you again and see you again. So lovely. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
If you like this episode, chances are there's someone else out there who needs to hear it too. So it would be a huge favor to me if you'd go ahead and give us a 5-star review. It helps me get the message out to more people. And if you need help moving in pain, then download my 5 free tips, and I'll catch you on the next episode.